Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 25 of A Year-Long Conversation, the official midpoint. Today, we're going to be talking about who will Hillary and Trump pick for their VP. Joining me, as always, in blue in Alabama is Michael. Michael, can you believe that we are at the midpoint?
Can't believe it. I hate that we're already halfway over.
I know. It just feels like time flies, huh?
It does. I don't know what I'm going to do without this.
Maybe we can go with the rest of the lost causers to the Bernie campaign. The real people who are going to be out of a job is all these people who have devoted their lives to Bernie's campaign. I mean, what are they going to do now? How are they going to spend 10 hours a day?
Well, I guess it depends on whatever Bernie tells
them. I think he'll tell them to go home. Like, I think he'll be like, leave me alone.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He'll go back to doing nothing. And somebody had to get Twitter burned. There's the state congresswoman from Ohio, Nina Turner. It's kind of like Bernie's black surrogate. He's really proud that he has one black female fan, so he's been making her go everywhere. Somebody sent a tweet to her being like, what are you going to do when Bernie won't return your calls after this campaign's over with? I mean, it's pretty good burn because, you know,
yeah. You
know, like after this is over, Bernie, like she'll call him and be like, Bernie, help. You know, he'll be like, tell her I'm not here. I don't think a lot of these people that are really going hard for Bernie are going to get their phone calls returned after he's done with them.
Speaking of politicians with one African-American supporter, how about Donald Trump comment about his one African-American fan that he had at his rally?
I know, it's funny too because he seems so proud of himself. He's like, this guy's here, right? He was so happy that guy was there.
There's somebody holding him at gunpoint.
He has the Trump 2016, and then he puts the sign over and it says, help me on the back.
Yeah, I forgot who it was that said that. They were waiting on Trump to just start, like, taking bidding. Here's an African-American.
Yeah.
Who will give me $100 for him?
That almost reminded me of the SNL sketch where Daryl Hammond is Trump. Like, he had Ben Carson at one of his rallies, and somebody had punched Ben Carson, and he goes, guys, what did I say? Not this one. He's one of the good ones. I mean, if you were black, it would almost be worth going to a Trump rally because people would be so nice to you because they're trying to prove that they're not racist or whatever. Like, if you went, Trump would be like, huh, you want a Trump steak? He'd be pretty nice to you just because he's really trying to get anybody who's black or Mexican to show up at one of his rallies. But the big net is, of course, between now in the last episode was that people were saying California would be close, and it wasn't. In some polls, she was dead even with Bernie, and it really wasn't even close.
So you're saying that polls can be wrong?
Of course, after the contest came in, Bernie did the right thing and dropped out. He said, it's hopeless, and I don't want to waste anybody's time and money, so I'm going to go home. And, you know, I got to give him props for saying that.
Wait.
No, of course, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just shitting you. You know, of course, he didn't go home. And, of course, he's still running, even though the day after California, pretty much every Democrat in the known universe endorsed Hillary. But I guess it's not a clear enough signal that the president, the vice president, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie's wife, I guess it's not a clear enough signal that everybody's pretty much endorsed Hillary. He's like, as long as I've got Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins, I'm not going anywhere.
He's got his last holdout. He's got the big swing state of Washington, D.C. left. He was campaigning for D.C. statehood.
I mean, I'm not trying to brag, but I feel justified about what I said about Bernie, because, I mean, I've been kind of saying that it's not about the issues, it's about him, it's about his ego. He's not going to drop out, and even when it's hopeless and over, he's not going to drop out, and he doesn't really care about other Democrats, and he doesn't really care if Hillary even wins this race, and does it feel good to be right, because I think we were right about that.
Yeah, it does.
Democracy be damned, I care about being right. I think we were right about Bernie, and I think a lot of people were wrong about him. They thought he would eventually do the right thing, and I don't think it's in it. But there's a part of him that's like, boy, I hope there's not riots at the convention. Get that look in his eye, like, wouldn't it be great if I could inspire that kind of passion? I feel so significant. I mean, it's about ego, really.
Like, with some of his supporters, he really could rally. I mean, he really could. You know, I was reading something on the internet, and a couple of his supporters were talking about how the election was rigged and all of this, and one lady was like, Bernie tells me to support Hillary, then I'll support Hillary because he won't steer us in the wrong direction. And I'm just like,
wow.
This lady, like, geez, his fans are just that delusional.
Drinking the Kool-Aid, yeah. Bernie's like, I want to be able to set the platform of what, and I thought, you know, you lost. You don't get to set the fucking platform. Mm-hmm. I know he doesn't believe he lost fair and square, but he lost fair and square. He didn't even come close to Hillary in the popular vote. And actually, all the Bernie fans being like, Hillary stole it and it's some manipulation of democracy, most of the states Bernie won were these really small caucus states, and actually everybody pretty much agrees that those are the ones that are the real problem, and he just lost. Like, sometimes your guy's just not the most popular candidate. that they don't believe that.
I'll give Bill Maher a lot of credit. I watched the show this past Friday night. I figured he'd come out and say something missing Bernie or something bashing Hillary. But he came out and was like, look, Bernie lost fair and square. And he went over to the stats and he was like, she won the popular vote. She won primaries. She won this, that. Bernie just lost. I was really surprised because of how adamant he was in his support for Bernie.
I think that shows you that it's over because Bill really liked Bernie and he knows it's over. And the fact that he is terrified of a Trump presidency, he's like, I've got to go big time for Hillary because Trump is the only presidential candidate in history who's ever threatened to sue him personally. So he's like, the last fucking thing I need is that guy with his hand on the drones. I mean, like, that's the last thing in the world I need is Trump. And then with the drones being like, oh, really, Bill Maher? Who's as an orangutan now, fuckhead, you know, drop a bomb on his house or something. Yeah. But let's make Bill Maher homeless. You know, he'll have some eminent domain thing where they want to build a highway through Bill Maher's house and they might make him move out of it or something. So I think that shows you that he's like, okay, either he's not my first choice, but Trump cannot be president, so let's really go whole hog into this. He was basically saying, you can't say the states you win are fair and the states you lose are rigged. If you've got these tiny caucus states, but they're not Democratic, and he wins them, well, that's fair and square. And like, nobody can say that Hillary stole out Alabama or New York or California. Mm-hmm. Like, she won these states fair and square in their primary states where everybody can vote. And there's always some woulda, shoulda, coulda. The parties are in a similar position because Republicans can't believe Trump won and a lot of Bernie fans can't believe he lost.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Bernie lost fair and square and Trump won fair and square. Now that Hillary's a sure thing, we're seeing the scandals. There's always going to be scandals that come in. With Hillary, I mean, you saw the jacket gate. Like, now she's paid $10,000 or whatever for this. She wore a really expensive jacket. Like, this shows you how boring Hillary's scandals are. That jacket's $10,000. She'll never win over the Bernie fans. And I'm like, well, which I doubt she really paid for that. Like, I doubt she bought it for that much. Like, a lot of time. Like, it's like when somebody wears a dress to the Oscars or a suit to the Oscars or something. They give those clothes away. So that jacket might be $12,000 if you paid for it. But she might have had somebody buy it for her. She might have had, like, it donated. Even if she did buy it, it's her money.
Yeah.
She can do what she wants to with it.
Like you said, it could have been donated. Just that designer wanted to get their brand out there, and they just donated it to her. And just being able to say, hey, that jacket you see Hillary Clinton wearing, I designed that.
I'm sure that the Bernie people, corruption! See, she wore that jacket for a favor. And I'm like, Valentino's the one who's like, that's the one you got to watch out for, the corruption. Forget about Wall Street. Go over to Fifth Avenue, Saks Fifth Avenue. That's where they're corruption. As somebody who knows a little bit about trying to start a clothing label, this is kind of a personal story. You always want famous people to wear your stuff. So a lot of times, famous people will ask for samples, and people have to give it to them. And so as somebody who's tried to start like a clothing company and a clothing label, which is the small business I mentioned in last week's podcast. Like, they had something in LA right before the Oscars. You can have your label featured at a swag party, which is where they give out all these samples and stuff. And I was like, well, I'm not crazy about losing half my inventory for nothing, but I guess if somebody famous wears it and they go, oh, we're going to need you to pay $5,000 too. So you had to pay money to get to the swag event to get your clothes as a giveaway in a gift bag. No guarantee that that person would even wear them. And even if they did wear them, it's totally up to them if they want to put anything on Instagram, like, oh, who you were, and designer of that jacket. He's got his money's worth, because if he gave Hillary that jacket for free, everybody's talking about it. But when they had that about Hillary's jacket, I thought, this is the double standard, because, I mean, Hillary ain't like Trump shops at Kmart. I mean, Trump is a literal billionaire, and you're talking about Hillary's suit jacket? Trump suits, they're probably more expensive than that, some of them, unless he wears his own. I bet Trump doesn't wear Trump suits. Whenever he has to look really good, he's like, throw those Trump suits away. I need to look really nice for this debate. Like a Trump suit, if somebody smoked near it, it would burst into flames or something.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's like, hey, goddamn, this tie is going to spontaneously combust out here under these lights. Get rid of this thing.
That's what happens when your stuff's made in China and Bangladesh.
Yeah, and Trump probably uses, like, real cheap, like, threads and chemicals and all that. Like, he's probably like, I used the finest old asbestos. We liquefied it down and gave it a nice shiny coat on these clothes.
I remember one time Trump was on Letterman, and he gave Letterman some shirts and ties, and Letterman was, like, looking at the shirt, and he's like, oh, made in Bangladesh. He's like, what about the ties? And he looked at the ties and said, made in China.
like the ingredients, and it says 80% kerosene. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Not even cloth. It's just weird that we live in a social justice warrior time period where every single thing is picked apart for racism, sexism, Islamophobia, and yet we never hear anything about Hillary. Like, this is a pretty clear double standard, I think. I mean, every little thing she does is wrong. She wears a $10,000 jacket, and she's wrong. She takes it off, and she's pandering. She says, oh, it was donated, and it's corruption. She says, okay, I paid for it out of my own money, and she's too rich to be president. I mean, everything she does is wrong. And at the same time, when she's wearing a $10,000 jacket, Trump defrauding the actual middle class with Trump University, he said he was going to donate money to a veterans charity, and he didn't do it. If Hillary Clinton said, oh, I'm going to donate all this money to a veterans charity, and then she kept it all for herself, what do you think would happen? I mean, just out of curiosity. Like,
there would be an angry mob outside of her house. Like, they would run her out of the country.
Yeah. I mean, if it was a Democrat who did this, their campaign would be over with. Like, oh, no, it's not two different standards for Republicans and Democrats. It's two different ones for Trump and Hillary. And I'm like, that's bullshit. It's always the Republicans who get the lax standards. I mean, showing that it goes beyond Trump, there was the Republican senator who gave a speech basically saying he wished Obama was dead. And he was quoting this Bible passage about, may his days be few. I just don't think that a Democratic senator could say that about President Bush. I don't think he could have got out there and said, I hope he dies tomorrow. You know, I just think it would have been a bigger deal than it was for Obama. And then after this nightclub shooting, that nightclub in Orlando, one Republican senator basically was kind of saying, like, you reap what you sow, basically being like, if you live that lifestyle, you're going to get shot. I just don't think a Democrat could get, like, if a Democrat were to say that about, like, people at a NRA event or something like that, I just think it would go over, like, I mean, it would be like a lead balloon, right?
Yeah, it would.
With this Orlando shooting, we'll talk about this real briefly and then get on to the VP thing. Are you with me in that there was something a little ghoulish about the media's treatment of this? Because I feel like it's such a tailor-made thing for the media. Like, I bet they got hard when they saw the news footage come in. Because it's like, oh, my God, a Muslim shooter, a gay nightclub, an assault rifle. You've kind of got this trifecta of things going on. You can play religion. You can play sexuality. You can get into the gun control thing. I mean, it's like tailor-made for them to just salivate over this. And I kind of feel like, as always happens with these type of tragedies, people sort of see what they want to see.
That's absolutely right.
As I just mentioned, that, like, if you're a senator who wants to talk about gay people, you're going to say, oh, it's the lifestyle. If you're a liberal who wants to talk about gun control, you're going to talk about guns and get rid of guns. If you're Trump and you want to say, see, I was right about Muslims, you're basically going to be able to, you're going to be able to read into it what you want to read into it. And it's amazing that people always do that. They always kind of do that. And it happened 2 weeks ago at the UCLA shooting. There was a UCLA shooter, and the same thing happened. And now this Orlando thing is going to be an even bigger deal because more people died, and it's got the juicy sexuality angle on it and stuff. And plus, this guy may have actually been tied to ISIS. They don't know yet, but they think he might have been. I think both parties are kind of bad about that, to where liberals immediately took it the gun control route. Immediately.
Yeah.
And this probably doesn't have a lot really to do with the assault rifles. Like, if he'd have used a fertilizer bomb, I'm sure they would have went into mental health or something, you know, like it would have went into getting people treatment for mental health. And the guy could write like a 50-page diagram about Allah and the Quran, and they'd be like, no, this has nothing to do with religion. And then he could have like Allah rules on his forehead tattooed on it or something, and come into the nightclub, no, this has nothing to do with that. And yet on the Republican side, Trump's going to use this more than anybody, because this kind of fits into his narrative that, like, Muslims are dangerous and you got to keep them out of America. So I feel like there's always this ghoulish race to claim a tragedy for whatever you want to talk about anyway.
Yeah, and people talk about how we sit around and these happen over and over again. And I think that's part of the reason why. It's because people see what they want to see in it. And one side's arguing for one thing, the other side's arguing for a different thing, and they're not going to agree. And they're not going to reach a premise on what the problem is. Nothing gets solved. Nothing gets done. And that's why you see these shootings over and over and over.
This goes on a society level, like what we're talking about. And it's also just an individual level, because even inside this guy's own family, I thought it was interesting that his own father, who's a devout Muslim man, said, no, religion has nothing to do with this, because he doesn't want it to. And then the guy's ex-wife, who was only married to him for 6 months, was like, religion has everything to do with it. He used to beat me when I didn't finish the laundry on time. When I said, please stop beating me, he'd say, you're my property. Like, under Islamic law, you're my property. He'd come home, and if I didn't have dinner made at a certain time, he would beat me. So even inside this Zelensky has his own family, his wife, who was at the, let's say, abusive end of Islam or whatever, said, no, religion absolutely has something to do with it. And then his dad, who got his own reasons to not believe that it would, is like, no, it has nothing to do with it. So even on an individual level, it's whatever you kind of already think. I think our politicians, they just reflect the society that's out there at the time. Like Barack Obama, he went on Jimmy Fallon last week. This was the week that we saw like the Democrats kind of start really going after Trump. It's going to be pretty awesome to watch this for 6 months. All we saw was like a handful of things, and it was just like, I mean, Elizabeth Warren gave a long speech, and then Barack Obama went on Jimmy Fallon, and like Hillary Clinton brought Trump down with one tweet. Delete your account.
Yeah.
And it got like half a million retweets and shit. It was like three words and it was brilliant and it just like shut him up. But when Obama was on Jimmy Fallon asked him, he goes, do you think the Republicans are happy with their selection? And he's like, well, we're happy with it. And now you're seeing the A-team coming in because you're going to see Obama and Hillary and, I mean, this is the Justice League that's coming in here. But when Obama was on Jimmy Fallon, all he said was like, they had an article and it was about, where do you want to go after your finished being president? Like, where's the first place that you're going to go? And he said, oh, someplace warm. Well, I went down and read the comment section, and like the first 10 were like, I hear Kenya's nice and warm. And somebody wrote, how about the night circle of hell, Hussein? And then beneath that one was a guy who wrote, wherever he goes, I'm sure it'll be on the taxpayer dime. Put another one on the credit card, Barry. And it was like, and then he said something about like, well, I hope no matter what happens, I hope we can all come together more than we have, and we can mend fences, and we can be bipartisan, all this stuff. The comments were all about how much they hate him and how he can go to hell and Democrats need to roll over and do what Republicans want. People are really not getting it. Like, they kind of missed the point. And I think that it's, again, it's like whatever you already think, you're going to reinforce that.
Yeah.
A guy can go into a nightclub and start shooting and you're going to see what you want to see. Obama can go on Jimmy Fallon and say, well, I hope we all come together as a nation. And then that somehow calls to, like, they don't even hear what he's saying.
But
it's because they're running so far to hate him that they don't even hear what he's saying.
You know, probably somewhere down in the comments, it's like, oh, well, he can go on this television show, but he can't be greeting our fallen soldiers when their bodies are...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was a lot of comments about what is he doing on TV all the time, and he's just a celebrity. And the narrative about Obama, people can't seem to make up their mind about what they hate most about him. It's like, is he a Muslim? Is he a Kenyan? Is he communist? And then you get into stuff that's like, he's just a celebrity. He wants to be on TV all the time. They can't seem to decide whether he's like actively trying to destroy America, or he's just incompetent, or he's asleep at the wheel, or he's just some glib like Marie Antoinette, let him eat cake while he and his wife have this extravagant lifestyle. They can't seem to make up their minds what he is.
Yeah.
It was interesting that at the Republican debate, what essentially brought down Rubio was a 5-minute long debate about whether Obama's merely incompetent and stupid or whether he's actively evil and trying to destroy America.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a real debate between them. I mean, they were actually up there like Talmudic scholars trying to parse through every line Obama's ever said to figure out exactly how much he hates America and exactly how much just trying to destroy it. And this is going to sound weird, but I think Republican hatred of him, in a weird, weird way, I think it's helped him because it's made people like me a lot more defensive of him. Like, I think I defend him a lot more, but because I know Republicans are crazy, but the fact that they've, like, attacked, and nothing he does is right, everything he does is wrong. If you just admit that he's not perfect, well, Obama's not very good at golf. I know, he sucks. Let's investigate. And I'm like, wait a minute. They're just, they hate him so much that it's made me had to basically, like, bronze him into a figure of perfection because you can't give an inch, because if you even open the door that he did something that you kind of don't like, they're going to pounce on it. And I think they're going to make the same mistake with Hillary. I think they've already done it, and they're going to do it even more because every little thing she does, pick apart, it's made me to where I don't want to concede anything. I mean, they could say, Hillary killed somebody and threw him in the Rose Garden. Well, what did that person do? Maybe they were in the way of her car. She had her in them.
Yeah.
Like, you want to defend this person no matter what, because what they're going after, of course, stupid, and you know that it comes from a bad place, and you know that the people who hate Obama, the majority of them hated him from day one. It wasn't like he could have ever won them over.
Yeah. I had a similar situation where I was talking to somebody that just absolutely hated Obama and was talking about a lot of the things like you were saying. He was trying to kill America. He was from Kenya. He hated the troops. He was trying to destroy the military and all this. But I'm like, Obama isn't perfect. He has his faults. There are things that he's done that I don't like about him. Let's have a debate about those things. Like, if you want to not like him, don't like him for those things. And they're like, well, like what? And like, I gave like two examples, and it's like, well, see, there you go. Like, no, I'm going to add that to my list of reasons.
And Like, I don't even concede anything because I know that it's just the people who are going to agree are coming from such a bad place. Like, they're not coming from, like, a moderate, like, hey, let's find middle ground. Like, they're just trying to find any little thing they can. I know a lot of black people who have said that, like, white people who hate Obama will come up to them and be like, don't you hate Obama? And they'll ask them questions like that, trying to trip up. There'll be white people who come up to her and they'll be like, yeah, isn't Obama the worst? And she's like, no, he's been a really good president. And then they move on. Like, they totally change the subject and they don't want to hear it. But if she said, Obama, there's things he's done I don't like or whatever, they'd be like, see, black people hate him too. I'm not a racist. You know, totally trying to find the response that they want. My black friend, and she's like, somebody she don't even know, really. Like, it'll just be somebody that meets her, and then they'll be like, well, my black friend says that Obama's done wrong, too. And it'll be like, you're my boss. I'm paid to work under you. I have forced to talk to you.
That's a method of operation for the Republicans, though. I mean, they did the same thing when they were talking about welfare, and I think Barack Obama even called Fox News out on it. He's like, they find the most extreme examples by people that he was like, people that I couldn't even believe that I could stand, and they use them as the picture of what everyone that receives welfare is representative of. And I think they did the same thing. They're going to try to find, like, their one black person who can say something bad about Obama and justify it as them not being racist. I think that's why Alan West is always in the news, because black Republican who calls Obama out. And I think that's the only reason he's actually still popular. I think that's the only reason he actually still has somewhat of a voice in the Republican.
There's
community.
Always, like, that one guy, the Ben Carson or the Alan Keyes or the Herman Cain. Like, every 5 years they find one guy, and it's not Clarence Thomas, it's Alan Keyes. When Alan Keyes was not a thing anymore, it was Alan West. When Alan West was not a thing anymore, it was Herman Cain. Now Herman Cain, he had like 15 different sexual harassment charges against him, and they're like, oh shit, we gotta, and now it's Ben Carson. In about five years, it will be Charles Barkley. I don't know. It'll be somebody. Like, there's always somebody. Yeah. What's funny too is, like, you have somebody who's like a white conservative that thinks Obama's a total racist and hates white people, and then he'll ask a black person, be like, what do you think about Obama? Well, he hasn't really done enough for black people. Right. He sucks. They're coming at it from a totally different perspective than what they want to hear. But if the conclusion is Obama's bad and he's not been like a very good president, then that's fine for them, even though what that black person's saying, he hasn't done enough for black people. That's the exact opposite reason of why that white conservative doesn't like you.
Yeah.
But it's, so as liberals, I feel like sometimes we're too helpful to Republicans, I think, in terms of, like, making their points for them. I want to discourage us from doing that to Hillary, because I've already seen a lot of progressives, but, well, Hillary's not our first choice. Well, Hillary kind of sucks. Well, Hillary may not be anywhere near good enough to be president, but she's better than Trump. I don't know where that comes from. I'm like, no, actually, Hillary is my first choice.
Yeah.
2 years ago, they're like, who do you want to see? I'm like, Hillary. Yeah, but if you could get Joe Biden to, I'm like, I don't want Joe Biden to run. I like Hillary. Yeah. They're like, yeah, but if you could get Andrew Cuomo, I'm like, I like Hillary. And they're like, no, Elizabeth Warren. I said, Hillary's better than Elizabeth Warren, which is blasphemy. Yeah. In progressive circles, but she is. But people just couldn't believe that that was, like, my first choice. Like, that's who I really wanted. They're like, yeah, I mean, she'll probably win, but, like, if you could pick anybody, I'm like, Hillary.
It's hard to believe that you could actually want another Clinton. I mean, God, they've destroyed our country enough. Don't you know that?
I know, 8 years of peace and prosperity. What a horrible thing that would be. Like, people say, well, this is just going to be a third Clinton administration. But people who say that, I never hear them say what the problem with that would be.
Some people that we went to high school with, they had this big, long debate on Facebook the other day that I didn't partake in. I just decided to be nosy and read all the comments. Somebody was actually supporting Clinton and was like, look, even if he did sleep around on his wife, you know, the economy was still good. And, of course, somebody had to come back. Well, that was all Newt Gingrich. That was Gingrich's. That's why the economy was good.
Yeah. If you went into it and said, actually, it was Al Gore because he helped create the Internet, that would cause it to explode. But it's actually true. So that kind of brings us into a back door. I think Clinton did a really good job of picking Al Gore as his vice president.
Yeah.
When he picked the vice president. But by and large, we haven't seen, like, great vice presidents in recent years, I don't think. Like, I think a lot of the vice presidential candidates, they don't really add anything. I've noticed that Mitt Romney, he's all in the news, right, criticizing Trump. Everywhere he goes, he's criticizing Trump. I haven't heard anybody in the last 4 years. You know what we need more of on TV? Mitt Romney. That's what we need more. Like, I haven't heard anybody be like, you know what, we got to have Mitt Romney's voice in the conversation. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why he's thinking he's so popular. Because people always say, well, Paul Ryan, his endorsement's a big deal. I'm like, why? Because when I ask people, who is Mitt Romney's running mate, half the people don't know. And I've had at least five people say Sarah Palin. They don't remember who Mitt Romney's running mate was. Like, less than a quarter of the people I've asked remember who his running mate was. I think that's one example. John McCain, obviously Sarah Palin may have actually hurt him in terms of his campaign, because people forget that in 2008, John McCain was beating Barack Obama pretty much the whole race, except for the last 2 months when the economy started tanking and Sarah Palin started talking. And Paul Ryan, I don't think he hurt Mitt Romney, but he didn't help him at all. Like, I don't think he got him a single vote. He wouldn't have got anyway. Like, Mitt Romney was like, yeah, we could get a woman. We could get a Hispanic. I know what we need. A younger version of me.
Yeah,
Paul Ryan. Exactly. That's what we got to have in here. I mean, it was like a mini-me, some stupid clone to follow him around and say his shit. But to be fair, I really like Obama. I don't want to open up the door. But Obama has been the star of his own White House pretty much the whole time. And I don't think Joe Biden is, I think he's pretty useless, actually. I don't think he was a great vice presidential choice. Joe Biden's from a small state, Delaware, that Obama's going to win anyway. I don't think Biden got him a single vote he wouldn't have gotten anyway.
Yeah, but he's given us plenty of laughs.
I feel like Biden is like some white fool Obama keeps around to make him look better by comparison or something. It's like forced perspective. Like, Obama already looks really cool, but then he brings out Joe Biden and he's like, see, black presidents are not so bad. You could have had Joe Biden for 8 years. I probably wouldn't have picked him if I were Obama. I don't think that, like, Paul Ryan or Sarah Palin were great choices. When you go back to the Bush presidency, Dick Cheney, no. Kind of a similar thing where Joe Biden makes Obama look good by comparison. I think Dick Cheney made George W. Bush look compassionate by comparison.
Yeah,
he made him look more humane. But I think Bush's whole strategy, well, Democrats will never bother to impeach me as long as they know that they're going to have Dick Cheney replacing me. And it kind of worked, because towards the end of the Bush presidency, when all this shit came out that you could have impeached him for, they're like, yeah, but do you want Dick Cheney to be president? But I don't think he was a great choice, and I don't think in the year 2000, Bush versus Gore, Gore was a great candidate, but Joe Lieberman was a horrible vice presidential choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we haven't seen a truly compelling vice presidential candidate in a long time, and I'm wondering if that's going to change this year. Like, do you think that Trump and Clinton are both very strategic people? I know a lot of stuff Trump does doesn't look like he's a very strategic person. You know, it's hard to tell exactly how smart Trump is, really. You know, like, it's really hard to tell, because half the time he seems like he's pretending to be dumb to basically trick people into following him who ordinarily wouldn't like Trump at all. But then the other half of the time he seems like a sincere idiot. But then he'll do stuff that, like, everybody thinks is dumb that's actually kind of smart. Like this thing with the Mexican judge. Everybody denounced that and said that was so stupid of him. I understand what he's doing, because he's basically making it to where that judge, he's going to muddy the waters so bad that that judge can't rule against him. If the judge comes out and, like, throws the book at him for Trump University, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? And if you muddy the waters bad enough, it lays the groundwork for an appeal. And I think that's exactly what he's done, is basically try to get this case either thrown out or set up for an appeal, or that judge may have to recuse himself, because it's pretty unusual that, like, a guy in a civil trial would basically make the judge in that case national news. Like, that's pretty unusual.
Yeah.
Probably grounds for a recusal. So even something like that, that on the surface looks flat stupid or whatever, like, how can he do that? That's going to alienate the judge. I'm like, yeah, he probably wanted to alienate the judge on purpose. I think we could see some strategic picks. And we all know Clinton is very good with that stuff. She's going to poll it and poll it and poll it and poll it. She's going to poll this thing to death, where she basically is going to figure out exactly who'd be the best candidate. I guess we'll ask two questions. Do you think we'll see a return to, like, strategically useful vice presidential candidates, which we've not had in a long time? Who do you think that they'll pick?
As far as the first question, there will definitely will be, especially on Hillary's part, she's going to be strategic about it. That's the thing. I think Trump is too, and he's already said he's going to try to find somebody that will help him get his bills passed and things like that. So he's going to be looking for somebody that is going to bring that political side to the table that can help him get his agenda passed. Now, if he's going to have anybody left especially supporting him other than Chris Christie within the next 2 months it's hard to say, but I think with Hillary, it's going to be more targeted towards a state that she really needs to win, more so than trying to get her agenda passed. So I actually did a blog post about Hillary's VP pick, and at the top of the list, I put Tim Kaine, just because I think that she has to have his support and have him, because she has to win Virginia. I think bringing him on board could pretty much deliver Virginia to her. You know, I think she's going to go with somebody like that somebody that's going to deliver a state that she needs desperately.
It's funny, because a lot of Hillary's best choices, they come in pairs. I said this a while ago, and it might have been like episode 5 or something, but like I said this a long time ago, but her choices kind of come in pairs. She's got literally the Castro brothers, who are twin brothers, and like, how do you tell one, you get to be vice president, and the other guy, you get to look like the vice president?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you pick, really, between those two? Like, if it was one of them, they'd be a stronger candidate. And then she's got two senators from Virginia, Tim Kaine and Mark Warner. And it's like, I like Tim Kaine, I like Mark Warner, and it's like, who does she pick between those two, really? They would both be good. And then when it comes to Midwestern progressives, she's got Sherrod Brown and Al Franken.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you choose between those two? Her vice presidential candidate should be one of those six people. But then people kind of go off and they say Cory Booker, who I don't think she'll pick, and there's Elizabeth Warren, who she should not pick. I don't think she will. Like, Hillary doesn't look at it and say, you know what my ticket needs? Another blonde woman in her 60s with the same haircut who's from a New England state. I'm going to win by 20 points anyway. Again, it's not a strategic pick. Like, it's not going to get her a single vote. She doesn't get anyway. Plus, you can't really pick people like Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker because they have Republican governors in their state. Democrats always ignore the midterms. And I know we've mentioned it before. We're probably going to keep mentioning it. But two-thirds of state governments are controlled by Republicans. Literally 66 out of 99 state houses are controlled by Republicans. Two-thirds, a little bit more than two-thirds of the governorships are controlled by Republicans.
Yeah.
And that severely constricts who you can pick, because with senators, if you picked like Sherrod Brown, who's in Ohio, because John Kasich, the Republican's the governor, he can appoint a Republican to fill that seat.
Yeah.
So already, like, she would probably love to pick Sherrod Brown, because he's a progressive and he's Ohio, which is a big state. You're saying with Virginia, I think it's move, like I say that, Missouri, Ohio, Virginia, and she's got to kind of clean up those mid-Atlantic and Midwestern states. You can't really pick Sherrod Brown unless you want to, like, give Republicans a Senate seat, which is exactly what it would be. And even a state like Massachusetts, which is comically safe for a Democrat, you can't even do that because they've got a Republican governor right now.
Yeah, you brought up Al Franken, which is funny because the first four names on my list is Tim Kaine, Julian Castro, Al Franken, and Mark Warner.
Thought about that for a long time, to where, like, her best choices come in pairs. I mean, a lot of people think it's going to be the Castro guy.
He gave the keynote speech in 2012 at the DNC. He was promoted from his mayoral position in San Antonio to the secretary of HUD in the Obama administration. Young, he's attractive, he's Latino, which, I mean, I guess you could say the same thing for his brother, but...
I mean, I think demographically, the Castro brothers make sense, but it might not be as big a deal with Trump as the opponent, because, I mean, how could they lose the Latino vote? I mean, it's not really up for grabs against Trump.
Yeah, I see the Latino vote being something you have to worry about for Democrats.
What she could do is, if she really likes one of the other guys better, she could pick them as VP and then just take one of the Castro brothers and give them a cabinet position, like Secretary of State or something, that sets them up for something down the road. Like, I used to think about the VP slot as two different things. It was to take a state off the map that you really wanted. Like, Kennedy probably wouldn't have picked LBJ, except he really wanted Texas. But I'm glad he did, because LBJ wound up being a great president. But it used to be, like, for the electoral map. But it was also kind of about, who do you want the next president to be? Because if you'd won and you got 8 years or whatever, it was about setting up that next generation.
Yeah.
And that's why Biden wasn't a great choice, because you knew he'd be too old to really succeed you. Dick Cheney wasn't a great choice for the same reasons. Joe Lieberman wasn't a great choice for the same reasons. I think Hillary and Trump, both of them are in their late 60s. I think Hillary particularly she might want to pick one of the Castros for the youth specifically.
Yeah.
But even if she doesn't, Mark Warner and Al Franken and Tim Kaine, they're all young enough that even after 8 years of Hillary, they would be young enough to run for president.
I'll throw another name out there. I'm just going to throw it out because I feel sorry for the guy, and that's Martin O'Malley.
I don't think she's going to pick him, but poor O'Malley. He is truly the John Edwards of this cycle.
Yes, he is. Yeah. That's why I have such a heart out for him.
poor O'Malley, and you've probably seen Bernie. Like, one minute the Hillary screw up, the next minute I would be open to the idea of being her VP, yeah. And I'm like, I bet she would be. She could never pick him because he wouldn't even support her agenda. Like, how is she going to be out there trying to pass the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and then her vice president's like, you should vote against this.
Like, it comes down to a tie in the Senate, and Bernie's going to be like, nope.
Right. Their only real job is to break ties in the Senate and to kind of wrangle the Senate a little bit, which is, again, why OBJ was a brilliant choice. But with somebody like Bernie, you couldn't even tease that he would do that. There's no way that she'll pick Bernie. None.
No.
Might have even considered him for a cabinet position, like, back in March, if he had quit. Like, if he quit after Ohio, she might have considered him for, like, a cabinet or something. But now that he's done this, I think Hillary, and the fact that he still hasn't officially quit, like, the fact that it's still going on after the entire party has, you see Bernie be like, I'm committed to stopping Trump. And I'm like, except for doing the one thing you could do, which is drop out. He's like, I'll do whatever it takes to stop Donald Trump from becoming president. I'm like, well, the only thing you could do is drop out of the race. Literally, the only thing you could do is the one thing you won't do. With Republicans, the only way that Trump was able to win was because all the Republicans agreed that Trump shouldn't be the nominee, but they couldn't agree on who should be. Everybody wanted to stop Trump, but they couldn't agree on the person who was right to do it. So, like, Jeb Bush thought he should stop him. Rubio thought he should stop him. Ted Cruz thought he should stop him. Kasich thought he should stop him. Everybody. You should have taken guys like Jeb Bush, who had absolutely no shot, and they all should have dropped out and thrown their support behind Rubio early on. But none of them wanted to do that. And it's a much smaller case, but you're seeing it a little bit with Bernie. And when I was watching Elizabeth Warren give that speech about Trump, I kind of was like, is she running for president? Because it was like, when she was talking about Trump, it was all about what she was going to do. And I thought, well, if you really wanted to stop Trump, you could have endorsed Hillary a month ago. But you didn't.
Yeah.
You waited until after California, which is a real profiling courage. Not. And she did it the same day Obama endorsed. Obama's people said he wanted to endorse Hillary months ago, but he wanted to wait till the primary was over because, I mean, again, he's the sitting president. He kind of had to wait till the primary was over with. But I thought Elizabeth could have endorsed Hillary before the race was over, which would be a lot louder endorsement than waiting until she's the default nominee. And then when you're endorsing her, you're giving like an hour-long rambling speech about Wall Street and Trump. And I mean, it was like Elizabeth was running for president.
Yeah.
There was very little in there that was actually about Hillary. It was all about how bad Trump was and not that much about talking Hillary up. Mm-hmm. And it robbed the oxygen out of the news cycle of Barack Obama has just endorsed Hillary, which should have been, they should have spread that shit out. Like when they had him and Biden and Elizabeth all doing it the same day. And I thought, you got 6 months between now and the race, like spread it out and do it like different weeks so that it's constantly anyway. But on a scale of 1 to 1,000, what are the odds Hillary picks Bernie as VP?
I feel like I'm more likely to be picked than Bernie.
Michael for VP. One name that I also feel like you have a better shot than is Mark Cuban. And I've noticed Mark Cuban has put his name out there for both parties. Like first he said, I'll be Trump's VP. And now he's like, I'll be Hillary's VP. You got to give Mark Cuban credit, man. Now, there's a guy who's bipartisan. Trump? Sure. Hillary? Whatever. I just want to be the VP. And it was funny because with Trump, he said, as long as Trump listens to me and does whatever I say, and I'm like, I feel like that killed his chances right there.
Yeah.
The idea that Trump has to listen to somebody and do whatever they say. Trump's not really that kind of guy. But I also feel like with the Trump ticket, it needed another loudmouth billionaire. Like, it needed a hole in the head. I mean, sure.
Yeah, those two personalities.
But I mean, it would be, again, it would be kind of like Romney and Paul Ryan, to where you're just doubling down on what you've already, like people who like loudmouth billionaires, they've got Trump. You're just doubling down on what you've already got, basically. I think Cuban is a little bit more logical choice for Hillary, but not much more, because, again, the guy's probably got skeletons in his closet like a fucking graveyard. So, I mean, again, it's like you're talking about a nominee that's not really going to win you any points or whatever. And the same thing he said about Trump. He said about Hillary. He goes, as long as Hillary was open to listening to what I had to say, this idea that, like, Hillary needs to listen to Mark Cuban or Bernie or this idea that she somehow needs their advice, I think is a little bit, like, weird.
Well, Bradley, you know, she's a woman.
You just see, like, all these guys coming in, and Hillary's like, okay, so I figured, shut up, honey. Here's what we need to do for the presidency. Like, Obama, he said, Hillary is the most qualified president we would have ever had. Paul Krugman is not really even that big a fan of the Clintons, but he came out and endorsed Hillary big Week time in the New York Times. Yeah. And he said she would be the most qualified president we've ever had on economic matters, which is really important to pretty much everybody. Him saying she'd be the most qualified president ever on economic matters, that really matters to me. With her, it's not so much about a vice president that she needs to get advice from, because, I mean, hell, she's got Barack Obama on speed dial, her husband's in the White House, she's ex-presidents who are right there for any advice that could come up, and plus she knows a lot about this stuff herself and doesn't really need that much advice. So with her vice presidential candidate, because Trump makes the Latino vote not really up for grabs, and because the electoral map really favors Hillary with Trump, and because she doesn't need, like, a lot of younger presidents might pick somebody older so that it looks like guiding hand or like one of those old wise old advisors or something, even though Cheney and Biden didn't really fit that, really didn't fit that mold. But she doesn't need that either with, because she's got the experience. So I think with her, it could really just come down to who does she like, because she doesn't really need a vice president the way that other people need one. With Trump, he needs a vice president, and he said before that he wants, like you said, somebody with government experience. And here's some names that are usually floated out with Trump. We hear a lot about Rick Scott, who's the governor of Florida. I don't think he'll pick Rick Scott. We hear a lot about John Kasich. I don't think he'll pick John Kasich. We hear a lot about Suzanne Martinez, the governor of New Mexico. She would be a good pick, but I don't think. Yeah, she would be a good pick. Again, it's one of those things like, don't call me, I'll call you. Again, it's one of those things like, hey, Trump, your last five set of flowers have come back with fuck you notes. I don't know. With Hillary, her choices are only confined by the fact that there's so many Republican governors, and she's confined solely by the way that the state governments are made up. Trump's confined by the fact that so few people want to work with him, and he's confined more by that than anything, because they have opposite problems, really. To where, like, most of Hillary's best choices, they come in pairs and all this stuff. Most of Trump's best choices come in zeros. I mean, they don't want to work with him. They don't like him. Their endorsement is shaky at best. So Trump's pairs, like, people talk about Rubio and Kasich. I don't think Trump would want Rubio, and I don't think Rubio would want Trump. Kind of like bad chemistry. I don't think Trump would really want Kasich. Kasich's like, oh, no, I wouldn't, but yes, you would. Yes, you would be Trump's VP. If he asked you, of course you would be Trump's VP. Because Kasich would think, oh, well, he'll lose, and then I can run in 2020 as, like, the front runner. Is exactly what he would think.
Yeah.
Which is probably true. I don't know if Trump will pick Kasich, but I think Kasich would jump at it. But the names we hear that I think do have a really good shot, we hear a lot about Bob Corker, who's a senator from Tennessee.
Tennessee.
I could actually see Trump picking him. We hear a little bit about Newt Gingrich. I mean, I don't think he's really a good choice, but I could see Trump picking him. He fits Trump's most important parameters, which is he likes Trump. He likes Trump almost as much as Trump likes Trump. Like, you can see Trump's checklist being like, does he like me? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, who do you think? Because Trump has a lot of choices, because there's so many Republican governors, senators, congressmen. He's got a lot more choices than Hillary does in terms of, like, the governors, senators, congressmen, but there's fewer people that haven't dissed him, and he's not going to pick somebody who's ever dissed him, I don't think.
Yeah, you know, I made a little list of it on Facebook. I didn't go in depth on a blog post because I don't really care that much about Trump, but I had Bob Corker and Newt Gingrich and Kasich on there, and Rick Scott, but I also have Chris Christie, obviously, because there's literally nothing that Trump can do that Christie wants, just absolutely, like, I also put Jeff Sessions. I mean, the first senator to come out and endorse him, going to win Alabama easily.
Right.
But, you know, Sessions, as much as I hate him, he has plenty of experience in the Senate. I really think Trump's going to try to find a woman just to try to prove that he's not a misogynist. You know, I think somebody like Mary Fallon from Oklahoma or Joni Ernst from Iowa, those are two names that I think.
Match made in hell, basically. Do you think that, like, Suzanne Martinez, if Trump could convince her, do you think she would be a good pick for him?
I think she would be a great pick.
Yeah.
She would be a great pick with the Hispanic voters. She would be a great pick with women.
But the thing is, that's who Mitt Romney should have picked, was her.
Yeah.
He should have picked Suzanne Martinez. Like, that would have been a great pick for Romney, because when he looked at Romney's categories, like, he did horribly with Latinos, he did horribly with women. If he'd have done better with women, he would have been president. And I think Suzanne Martinez would have been a great pick for Romney. With Trump, it's hard to say. Like, I don't even think he's going to bother with the Hispanic vote. I think he pretty much thinks that that ship has sailed. He should be trying to get women more than he has. But it's just interesting that, like, when you look at the VP list for his running mates, it's all white men, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, Suzanne Martinez would be a great pick. You never hear her name come up. Like, it's
again, it's because because she hates him.
And that's another reason that she'd be a great VP pick, because if she came around, he'd be like, see, she hated me, now she's my VP.
Yeah.
I can win over women, even ones who hate me. And then she'd be in the back like, oh, God, this guy. So he said he wants somebody with government experience. To me, that rules out a lot of governors, because I think Trump, he wants to be the executive. He wants to be the CEO, the top of the banana. He wants to be like the king of the mountain, basically. So I don't think he really wants a governor who's had the real executive experience. So I could see him maybe picking Kasich solely because he wants Ohio, and he thinks Ohio will be important, and maybe Rick Scott solely for Florida for the same reasons. But except for those two, it would really, really surprise me if he picked a governor. I don't see anybody else that he would pick besides those two, and I don't even think he'll pick those two. I think what he really wants is somebody who's currently in Congress, and I think that Bob Corker fits that better than anybody. Newt Gingrich, he likes Newt mostly because Newt would fluff his balls if he asked him to. He'd be like, Gingrich, I'm a little humid down there. Okay, Donald. And he gets down there and fans it for him. He likes Gingrich because he would rub ice cubes on his nuts if he asked him to. The only thing about Gingrich is he's been out of it for a long time. I think Donald likes him because he was Speaker of the House. And so he likes him solely because the idea of a Speaker of the House is really appealing. But I don't think he likes that Gingrich is not currently in the mix. So I think if he picks anybody who's out of politics, it'll be Gingrich. I think if he picks anybody who's a governor, it'll be Kasich or Scott. But everybody else, I think, is going to be somebody currently in Congress. I think Jeff Sessions is out there. He's definitely on the list, but I don't think he'll pick him mostly because Trump could not lose Alabama if he literally shot somebody.
Yeah.
I think he might go up in the polls if he shot somebody.
Yeah, he probably would.
Especially if that person somehow wound up being a Muslim or an illegal or something. I think he'd go up in the polls. I think he'd win by even more than he's going to win already. I just don't think Sessions is a very good strategic pick. Kind of said the same about Bob Corker, only because Trump's probably going to win Tennessee, even though it's a little bit more up for grabs than Alabama is. I mean, there are some signs that Hillary, she invested real time and effort really in the city. She might could win Tennessee. Outside chance, but it's possible.
If I'm not mistaken, Bill won Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, I've said before, there's never been a Democrat who's become president and been completely shit out of the Southeast. It's never happened.
Yeah.
Even Obama won Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida. So, like, you've never had a president who's been totally shut out. And so Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton and LBJ, everybody has won at least one or two southern states. And so I think Hillary, she's going to look at, she'll go for those Obama 2008 states, Virginia, North Carolina, Florida. But there's outside chances of Tennessee and Arkansas. And I think if Trump, if he sees some bad poll numbers in Tennessee, it might make him panic and he might pick Bob Corker. But I think swing states and like Ohio and Virginia and Florida, and there's really not anybody from Virginia he could pick. Because the last Republican governor they had is probably going to go to jail, Bob McConnell. Not really a great pick. They don't have any senators that are currently there. So I think that that might make him even more desperate to pick somebody from Ohio, Florida. I mean, and again, from Ohio, the other senator besides Sherrod Brown is Rob Portman. And I don't really think he's a big Trump fan in general. Tough to say who Trump will pick. If you had to put, like, smart money on it, I think there's a shot at Gingrich, a shot at Kasich, a shot at Rick Scott. Those are strong candidates, but it would not totally surprise me to see him pick Bob Corker, mostly because I think he wants somebody currently in Congress, and I think he's really gravitating towards that more than anything. And Corker is one of those guys who, he's a Republican in every way except for the fact that he doesn't say no to everything. Like, he's one of those guys that he's frustrated that Republicans, Obama could be like, hey guys, come to the Christmas party, fuck you, and they don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
And Corker has not really said what he would do. He's one of those guys who talks about bipartisanship, but he doesn't really want to do it. You know, there's a lot of people who talk about bipartisanship, but they can't give you really good examples of what they would do differently. But the fact that he's able to even brand himself as like a semi-maverick, I think, is appealing to Trump. Because Trump's, he's Mr. Deal. I want to make a deal. Let's all make a deal. The idea that Corker said, I want to make deals with Democrats, even though he's not actually said what deals he wants to make with them and what he would do differently, and he hasn't gone out of his way to meet Merrick Garland, and just for one example, I think that could be appealing enough, at least to Trump's image. Again, it's all about image. It's not really about like the guy who's actually wanting to compromise and wanting to get stuff done. It's about wanting to appear that way. And with Hillary, I mean, you're saying Tim Kaine, maybe?
Yeah.
If it were me, because Hillary can pick anybody she wants. There's no strong weakness. I think she might be tempted to pick one of the Castro brothers. But if it were me, I would pick Al Franken. But
you know,
I think she might pick one of the Castro brothers.
Yeah, I think that Al Franken would not have been even thought about if it wasn't for Trump. I think a lot of people, Al
right.
Franken's a little
right.
bit over the top. But now that you have
right.
Trump, it's like, Al Franken's not Trump.
The reason that I like it is because he's a progressive. He's got as good a credentials as Warren or Sherrod Brown does, but he doesn't
yeah.
have a Republican governor. I mean, I know Al Franken's not a young man, but for a senator, he's pretty young. Even though a state like Minnesota is not a swing state and it doesn't really get her any votes she wouldn't get, he's popular in those kind of Rust Belt, like Pennsylvania, Ohio,
yeah.
like those kind of Midwestern places. So it's the Midwestern thing, which is the area Hillary's probably most nervous about. We've seen Trump is going to really play hard in those Rust Belt states, those like upper Midwestern kind of states. He's going to try really hard to pull those away from the Democrats.
Yeah.
With Al Franken, he's got the Midwestern thing. Like you said, he's more colorful because Hillary's fighting the perception that she's boring, and she's having to really fight this perception that, like, she's a drone and she's not, like, sympathetic, and she's not. And I think with Al Franken being on SNL and, like, being a former comedian, and but it's interesting because Al Franken, even though, like, he's got this comedy background, like, he's still not exactly Carrot Top. Like, even though he's a former
yeah.
comedian, people think he's smart. If it were me, I'd pick Al Franken, and if I were Trump, I would probably beg Suzanne Martinez to be my nominee. I think he'll pick Bob Corker, and I think Hillary, it wouldn't surprise me to see her pick one of the Castro brothers, even though Tim Kaine is a great choice. When do you think they'll make their announcements? I know both have said they want to wait till the convention, but it usually leaked before
yeah.
the conventions.
Yeah.
I mean,
I could see Hillary hanging out until a couple of days before the convention to make her announcement to kind of just rally up that support.
The classic Hillary to, like, let Trump go first because their convention's
yeah.
first. They have, like, a
yeah.
week. And I think if Trump waits all the way to the convention, she might, but I think she's got to let Trump go first. And then
yeah.
she might have, like, three candidates. Like, she might narrow it down to three. It might all just be about a counter move. Like, she might say, well, these three are equally great, and it doesn't really matter that much to me or whatever. Trump's the one who's really going to make a strong VP. Because Trump, I mean, this will be his first real decision as a politician. He's just got a lot more deficits. I mean, he's got to, like, somehow make up ground with minorities and women. He's got to convince people that he's not a joke. He's got to basically convince people that even though he has no government experience, he can get a VP who knows what the hell they're doing in terms of the legislation and things. Probably wait until he's made his selection and then just have it down to a final two and then pick off of that. Whoever doesn't get the job, if you pick one of the Castro brothers, Al Franken's good for Secretary of State. If you pick Al Franken, one of the Castro brothers is good for Secretary of State. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's like offer something to whoever you don't get.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the perfect plan for her.
I'd love to see Republican heads explode if she goes, and my VP is Barack Hussein Obama. What? You know, they just
yeah.
think, you know, I don't know if you can do it, but Barack Obama would be an excellent Secretary of State. And I don't know
yeah.
if you can pick an ex-president as Secretary of State. I don't even know if that's allowed or what you're able to do. I'm sure he probably wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Again,
well,
he's
going
to go someplace warm, which is either Hawaii or hell, depending on if you're a Democrat or Republican in the comment section.
This argument came up a couple of months ago. I was reading something, and it was talking about whether or not she would ever consider Bill as her vice president. And this idea that the Constitution is kind of silent on that. Says you can't have a president to serve more than two terms, but it doesn't speak about a vice president. So I feel like that'd probably fall under the same thing with the Secretary of State.
Wouldn't he be great for the Secretary of State job? Wouldn't
yeah,
that be great?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, Michael, what's your web address for us?
blueinalabama.wordpress.com.
Of course, you can find me at alabamaliberal.com. Join us next time for episode 26.